Hallelujah. I want to share today on the soul winner's burden. The soul winner's burden. Hallelujah. The soul winner's burden. How many of you felt compassion as you were preaching? You literally felt it. You think it was a result of prayer? All right, so that's it. Compassion will always come when you pray. You know, those who convert prayer to asking for things have destroyed the meaning of prayer. And I was talking to Craig 2 days ago, as yesterday, and I said, how would you classify someone who is always asking you for something? Is that a leech? I said, but if someone is your friend, he's not always calling you to ask for things. He's calling you to ask you how you're doing. Just conversation, you know, conversation that rubs your mind and shares ideas. He said, yes. I said, that's what prayer is. Amen. So, converting prayer to asking for something, asking for food, asking for a car, asking for a job, is reducing the importance of prayer. Jesus never lacked those things or didn't behave like he did. And he was praying a whole lot. And so we'll look at the soul winner's burden. Remember we looked at zeal last night. Can you remember that? All right. The soul winner's burden. Back to Matthew 9. Verse 35. Jesus was teaching and preaching. We saw that earlier in the morning. And when he saw the multitude, what they saw, there's something about the soul winner when he sees a sinner. It's supernatural. There's just a connection that stirs your heart. And you see, listen, it's by the Spirit of God. It's not a special grace. Stirs your heart. He saw and he was moved with compassion. He was stirred up, moved with compassion. And then because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd, they said he unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Is that the story this evening? Is the harvest plenteous, but the laborers few? The laborers are not few. The laborers are here. Hallelujah. So they pray in the Lord of the harvest that he will send for the laborers. Now, the term he uses here, laborer, is for a hard worker. Someone given to intense work. Intense effort, which means that the work of reaching the world is not a hobby. You say, what are your hobbies? Singing, soul winning. You need to be born again. What are your hobbies? Prayer. Prayer is not a hobby. Remember, fellowship went on campus. Making the word a habit. Something like that. A word a habit. So if it comes for you, a labor, it's a work. So the very act of reaching the lost or the unsaved is called labor. And Jesus speaks his words well enough for you to know what he was talking about. Labor is that which it brings in intense effort. The Greek of this word has to do with exerting energy. So it's not something done casually by the wayside. That's why I use the term burden of a soul winner. You know, there's the act of going for evangelism. Because the church asks you to go, and then you leave. A dear sister will tell me, you know, there was a time she was given best soul winner of all the churches in our province. Dominus used to attend them. And what was the soul winning? She was able to invite many people to the church, including my brother. And so she was given trophies or stuff like that. I said, they are deceiving you. That's not soul winning. Soul winning is labor. You will know that it's an intense work. You know, these days we have a whole lot of things. You mustn't be, don't be deceived. Things got, now I'm not speaking down on altar calls. You know, altar calls are, I got born again through an altar call. Okay? Altar calls, and I've seen very genuine many. But there are some that is just a joke. You know, after proper entertainment, after dancing, jumping all over the place, after a comedy, after a joke, after all sorts of things, they're now squeezing the name of Jesus in disrespect. In their inglorious activity. They are the deity activity. Forget my grammar. The ungodliness, ungodly activity. That proper grammar. They squeeze in Jesus and then force men to answer to another Savior. So the people rush out. Not intense prayer, nothing done, but good speaking and good ceremonies. You therefore think that the act of men getting born again is just as easy. Just put together things. Scare men a little bit. I remember when we used to do what we call backsnatching. Myself and a dear brother called Jumbu. And somebody else. Some other people would put music. Worldly music. And we play it from the back. We had this thing, we play it from the back. They have to play from the back. He begins to say things like, the devil is in your soul. The devil is in your soul. And we say those things. So we use Michael Jackson, MC Hammer. I think they'll be the bowl. New Edition. I don't know, you know what those people. New Edition. Rap, Chesmite. Use all those people. But interestingly, somebody now said, let's even try Ronkinoli. That's how we play Ronkinoli. And he also said the same thing. Said, there's a problem. Let's hide this part of our evangelism. And let's just show this one. As soon as we play that music, people will rush out. I will say, are you been listening to worldly music? Yes. Are you following Michael Jackson? Even though me, I like Michael Jackson. I still do. Are you listening to Michael Jackson? The devil is in your soul. And men will rush out. The devil will not be in my soul. And the salvation is so temporary that by that night, they are still playing Michael Jackson. So, don't be cajoled to think that is what Jesus is saying here. This one is labor. Labor of preaching. Labor of announcing, and not just announcing, according to Paul, 1 Corinthians 4:20, with power. 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration, apodexis, of spirit, pneuma, and power to show forth the spirit energy of displaying Christ to the world. So, it's the work of laborers, pray the Lord of the harvest, he says, that he may send forth laborers into his harvest. And then he chooses, chapter 10, verse 1, down to verse 3, 12 men. So, say 12 men. Now, historically, I'll get to that later. Many of these folks were young people, very young. In fact, even the age of Jesus is in dispute seriously in history. Some say it was in his late 20s, some say it was 30, and so on and so forth. The length of his ministry is also in dispute, whether it's 3.5 years. But I think the most accurate is about 2 years, 8 months. I think that's the most accurate I've found so far in my chronology. I may be wrong, but I think it's the most accurate. So the 3.5 years looks almost like it's not true. It's about 2 years, 8 months, or thereabout. And within this period, he gathers young people from different backgrounds. All Jews, no doubt, but different backgrounds, doing different things. There were those he called doing tax collecting. There was the one he called who was involved in fishing. And even all that, different sets of people. In Luke 9, the same is repeated. In Luke 10, he called another 70 people. And he sent them out. The first thing about a laborer we're about to see is that it is an activity. is not a noun. It's a verb in essence. He sends them. Laborer, therefore, is a missionary. Someone that goes. He goes. You see, you discover something about the soul winner's body. Listen carefully. Jesus didn't just send those guys. He took them on the street. Something about the soul winner's body is that it is born from what you can call a real encounter with Christ. A real encounter with Christ. There are people that all the encounter they have with Christ is that he healed them. Beautiful. That those are all the encounter they have with Christ, or they want to have with Christ, is that he will solve their life's problems. Some, that's all. But a real encounter with Christ will automatically rub his mind with yours. It looks right. He meets a man called Peter, who was a fisherman. And after the miracle, where he obviously multiplied or asked him to cast his net to one side, and there was a great drought of fish. And then Peter fell on his face and said, "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man," in verse 8. Then he said to him, "Fear not, from henceforth, thou," Luke chapter 5, verse 10, "thou shalt catch men." Watch that. That means the attention of God is never in things. It's always in men. I said that to you yesterday. It's in men. If you are going to ask yourself, how are you serving the Lord? It has to be amongst men. I will make you fishers of men, a fisher of men. To catch men. I said the word is to catch men alive. In John chapter 4, we found a woman that Jesus met at the well. You can read that from verse 7. And then there was a discussion about water, living water, well, and all that went on. She just asked the golden question. "Go and call your husband." And then she says to him, "I have no husband." Now, naturally, if you say, "Go and call your husband, I have no husband," that's like the word of God has just failed. "So I have no husband." Then he said, "You have rightly said so." Sometimes the revelation gives are inquisitive. They are asking a question. It's from questions that you will know what to say. And that's, you know, kind of, I've taught you that before, that it was an inquisition. "Call your husband. I have no husband." "You have rightly said, the man you have had 5 husbands. That's serious anyway. 5 husbands, but the man you are with is not your husband, making 6. This will blow the minds of many people in the religious world, because he called each person a husband. And he made that distinction, that the man you are with is not your husband. That means Jesus could make that distinction clearly. That will blow the minds of many people. 5 altogether. Because these days where people carry the names with apostrophe, a name will be too long to fill any passports. Carter, Williams, Daniel, Gogota, one single office, serious. Then she said, "You must be a prophet," and so on and so forth. The counter went on into where to worship, is it Jerusalem and all that. As soon as that conversation was over, this woman left and went to her city. In actual record, really, it is assumed, now this is a bit of a theological debate, that she was actually the first person in history to talk to others that this is the Christ. Now it's very, 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 very probable. Because, and this is a bit intriguing, because even upon the resurrection we're about to see, the first set of people to actually announce that he had been raised from the dead, were also women. That's why even in the Aladdin Church, where he was born, not born again, born. It's very vital to say that thing very well, lest at any time it slips away. This woman leaves and goes. It says she left her water pot. This is symbolic. She abandons all she was doing. Because of that encounter, she goes to the city and tells everyone, because of her, an entire nation, or city, pardon me, was reached. An entire city. Some have argued that that was the more reason why Philip was able to take the whole city at once. Possible. Went to that place and shared. There was obviously a body. Because when you come in contact with Christ, he doesn't leave you the same. Peter says that to those who don't believe, he says, it is a rock of offense unto them. He said, for those who believe, he says they will never come to the Lord of their shame. So there's always something that happens. In this instance, this woman in John 4, she leaves her water pond, goes to the city, and began to tell others about Christ. Look, John 4, 39 to 40. Such that Jesus came there, and they abode there for many days. So, an encounter with God will always produce that passion. Why? Because the passion is of God himself. You can't claim to be close to someone and have a relationship with the person, and then what is dear to his heart does not rub off on you. What is dear to the heart of the Father is not the elections of Nigeria next year. It's always interesting when you find churches praying. I was in a minister's conference in one country like that, and they were praying and prophesying over the next president of that country. Praying also, I heard prophecies that can I even read in any book? Prophecies. And even the woman who was prophesying was even crying. Oh, Spirit of God. And all that. And I was just laughing. One of our brothers in that country was with me. Interestingly, the candidate I was prophesying about lost the election. As it always happens. God, oh God. And I'm thinking, why would you bother yourself this much? So we pray, Lord, let your divine will be foisted upon this nation. You are joking. Tell us you are joking. You are joking. What is in the heart of God is not the kingdoms of men, it's the kingdom of his Son. And so, when a man rubs minds with God, what comes to his heart is the will of God that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and 4. 2 Peter 3, 9. It's not the will of God that any man should perish. But all shall come to the acknowledgement of the truth of repentance through faith. That is in the heart of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all the nations would be economically buoyant. Talk to me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so men and women can marry with ease. Some say, but is that not true? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that there will be technological discoveries along the nations. No. That whosoever believes in him shouldn't perish or have everlasting life. That is the mind of God. And so when a man has that genuine encounter with God through his Son Jesus, that will be what he will take from it. Any conference you attend, Bible conference, prayer conference, Holy Ghost conference, ministers conference, and does not leave you with this body, I cannot validate it. Because it has to carry the flavor of God's mind. Go and look at the book of Acts. From the first chapter till the last chapter, the pursuit was souls. From the first chapter, even the arguments in verse chapter 11 and chapter 15 was about salvation. Even the seeming ruckus around Paul in Acts 21, 22, down to 26 was still about the same thing. You can't claim to serve that Jesus and that is not the predominant activity on your heart. So the body for souls is not a special grace. It is what comes first and foremost with the new birth and definitely with spiritual growth. Can I have an amen in the house? So, that encounter produces this. Luke's Gospel 24. Upon his resurrection, there's something about the truth of God's word that burns in the heart of a man. He wants to share it. He wants to talk to others about Jesus. Luke 24, verse 10. Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, because they had gone to the sepulchre. We call these things unto the apostles. They were willing to share that Jesus had been raised. In John 20, verse 17, again, Mary is found in that story. John 20 and verse 17. She's found that story. When Jesus said to her, touch me no longer, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father and your Father. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. And she went to the disciples and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord. I mean, it comes with that responsibility. The friend of mine said this years ago. He said, the gospel is good. God's goodness to you in saving you from your sins. It becomes news through your lips unto others. It therefore becomes a body. Salvation is a gift of God, which gives us eternal life. We are sons of God, and with that is a concomitant responsibility to tell others what Christ has done. So, the burden for souls comes with the new birth. In Luke 24, 32, did our hearts not burn as he opened to us the scriptures? That's what they said. Did our hearts not burn within us? Luke 24, 32. And after that, what did they do? They went to tell others. They told others in verse 34, the Lord is with me, and appeared to Simon. It wasn't a news that, after you saw Jesus, you now go home and then you begin to watch movies. As you are watching movies and then you are enjoying yourself, then a friend comes by and says, how are you doing today? I'm fine. And after several juice, I forgot to tell you, I saw Jesus earlier today. By the way, how am I getting my card made? It wasn't something that just said, by the way, after several juice and things were said and you are drunk and you are seeing up your visitor. They say, are you aware about this issue of Jesus? I saw him a couple of hours ago. saw him. By the way, how are you tomorrow? How is it going to be? Are you mad? That is the greatest event in humanity. It should burn in the heart of a man that truly understands it. It should burn in the heart of a man. He should be strong on his heart. So they had to tell it. It is known to be told. It is seen to be said. It is received to be given. Same thing. As he opened their heart when he met the other 11 and 12, Baba's involved. And 12:45, they opened it, they understand in Luke 24, that they might understand the scriptures. Thus is revealed that Christ indeed must suffer and raise from dead the third day. And repentance and remission of sins should be enjoyed in his name. Should be studied in his name. Should be preached. Because coming with that knowledge is the responsibility to tell it. It must be told. It must be told. If you don't know the will of God, hear me, and I'm going to add this. Anything that does not involve the winning of souls cannot be called the will of God. You know, if they ask you something, and they say, what is it that God did? If you don't know anyone, you say, he came to die for our sins, right? If you don't know anything God ever did, you know that one. You know, even among theological circles, if you argue, did God kill? Did he not kill? Does God rob? Does he not rob? Rob? Okay. Does God steal? Does he not steal? Does God do this? Can he order genocide? Does he do it? Does God do this? Does he prosper? Does he not prosper? Does he do, what's his new word? Supply. Does he do supply? Does he do abundance? Does he not do? When you have all argued, there's one you can't argue over. Did he die for sins? Yes. If you say no, we preach the gospel to him. So as soon as you say, no, I don't believe, come here. Repent or you will perish. So, if there's an area we all say the same thing, Christ died for our sins. So, it is clear what the will of God is. It's clear what the will of God is. Somebody asked me one time. So I've heard you say that thing before. Does it mean that when I want to marry a woman or a man now, I have to look at soul winning before I marry the person? I said, no. Look at soul loss. He said, no. I'm not trying to argue. I said, no, I'm not arguing to you. There's no room for argument. You know, Solomon said, you answer in full, back in his full. If it's the will of God, it must involve what Christ came for. So when Paul says, if you are going to marry, marry in the Lord, it's not just marry every born again man who wears bandana and born again. It's only the inward witness that attests to that confession. Every other thing is up. Is anathema. So, it is the will of God. If you read the scriptures very well, the will of God, whether in Colossians 1, 9 to 11, Ephesians 1, 9 to 11 as well, or you read 1 Timothy 2, 4, the will of him that sent me, Jesus. Every time you read it, it's the same thing it says. Back then, as younger believers, we used to call a sister you are deserting or you are gauging the will of God. Sir, is she the will of God? No, I'm praying about it. Is he the will of God? So he said, who is that? Who is God Jonas with him? That's the will of God for her. We used to say it that way. You know, remember one dear brother, Taiwo Adekaya Oja. That was the name. He was praying the will of the Father who was against anything gold or silver. I won't trade you for silver or gold. So he was really against gold or silver. Either earring, leg ring, eye ring, any ring against it. Yet he was spending coins. He, after praying the will of God, that's how he saw a petite, huge, pretty. You know, holiness people understand what I'm saying. They know these adjectives. Pretty sister from Latter-day Assembly. All painted up. And he said, boy, I don't know what's going on. That's what God is showing me. That's what God is showing me. That was in your heart. He said, it appears that that's the will of God. I said, you are correct. Of course, the sister nailed him to the cross.
So, the will of God. You don't need to hear a voice. The will of God is woven around why Christ died. Let me warn all of us Pentecostals and charismatic. I'm one. I'm proud to be a Pentecostal charismatic. I'm not Pentecostal actually, but I am. We have this mindset. I call it, you are hearing from someone, creating God in your own image. Have you ever said that? I can't serve a God who cannot. Can you imagine? And you called him God. Who cannot? Who will not? And you think you are worshiping an idol? I can't follow a God. I have said it before in stupidity. Who cannot? Who will not? No. Whatever he says he is, that is who he is. Hallelujah. Some people, they will so study the Bible according to their own image after their own likeness. It is the will of God. It must conform to the will of God. So the soul without the body is overwhelming. I can't have not to lose my voice. I've always tried to keep it to the judgment day. Look at Acts 2. You know, Peter, standing up with the 11, began to preach. When he was done, they asked him, "What shall we do?" The burden was strong. He prayed to 3,000, God saved. Same thing, Acts 3. When there was a miracle, did people get? Acts 4, when they prayed. Acts 5, Acts 6. Go consistent. Stephen, even at the detriment of being stoned. I've heard people say, I've said it before too. Stephen was just stupid. He didn't know the believer's authority. That's why he was stoned. He understood believer's authority. He will have, you know, all sorts of things, conjectures. And yet, if you had read backwards, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when you are killed for my sake." That put in your prosperity scriptures. Jesus didn't use blessed for anything material. Is that a persecution? Affliction for his name's sake? Meekness? Kindness? Being merciful? So, this bond in the heart of the man Stephen, also the man Philip. Look at another very crucial one. Look at Philip, in the midst of what we can call a major citywide revival of crusade. Thousands were heeding the call to the gospel. People had the Holy Ghost come on them, Acts 8, 14 to 19. And then he was told by the Holy Ghost, go to the desert. What desert means is a place where people are not staying. And then he goes there to win one person. That is it with the soul winner's body. One is as important as 1,000. As much as crowds are good, but it's not crowd crazy. One. And he goes out of the land, a wealthy man, a man in the chariot, not your own kind of chariot. In those days, a chariot is like an SUV. You know, the different ways they have vehicles, they have donkeys. Donkeys are for the poor. Jesus was poor. And his parents were. He was poor. His parents were poor. If you look at when he was dedicated, the offering they gave was the offering of those who were poor. They gave him a donkey that he sat upon. I've heard him say, Jesus sat upon a donkey that has not been sat upon before. That is tear rubber. Are you okay? Something about materialism that he makes you talk like something is wrong with you. You just begin to change stories. Something that the apostles saw nothing in, you saw right there. See, see. Nobody sat on it. So what now happened? It became what? An aeroplane? So, the guy was in the chariot. Imagine if it were some folks today. And they saw a man of the Ethiopian Enoch who was a keeper of the treasury of the queen. And he goes close to the car. He'll have first touched it. I connect the grace. He would have thought that was why the Holy Ghost told him to go there. I see it, I connect it. Amen. He'll have laid hands on it. Said, what are you doing there? The Lord says, I can see everything turning around. You know that? You know? He got up. Interestingly, he now met the man reading the scriptures. Again, his message, God is really moving on. I'm so glad to see people like you, even with the word. It shows you the secret of your prosperity, the study of God's word. Thank you, sir. It's such a blessing to know you. I mean, we can see the impact of kingdom advancement all over the nations. The man said, understand thou what thou readest. So when I know they look this, understand thou what you read. And the man said, how can I? Except some man guide me. Who is this prophet talking about? Himself or some other person? You know what? I preached the gospel to the man, got him baptized in water, as he was done. He wasn't giving the alarmists to start a church in Ethiopia. I see God open the door in Ethiopia for you. You know some folks are like that. Ordinary Facebook friendship from someone living in America, their ministry has now expanded to the America. Somebody reads your post on Facebook. I was so blessed that you get to church the next day. Our ministry is moving. We are moving. We now have partners. Partners in America. After a while, so we are training men in America. After a while, you kiss the lion. We now have a church in America. What is wrong with you? The man was not allowed to do follow-up. Immediately, he went back to the villages. So when that money will move you from thousands to one person. To one person. Just one single person. The body have a friend like that. They will travel into nations. Probably of the time, they went to a nation where they were not allowed to dress, to wear clothes. And they went there. Somebody with a PhD came from a wealthy family going on Keno. Hours. That's no ordinary eye. You know, on a normal day, if that was your cousin, you think, I hope something has not gone wrong with this woman. She was widowed very early in life. And she said, she was not going to marry again. And she faced that squarely. There was a time they planted over 200 churches where there was no church at all over the nations. That's a body. When you hear things like that, it should resonate. I mean, someone who had a PhD in pediatrics, in demand around the nations, now focuses on that. Those are examples of Christianity. The burden. She told me how they will leave some people and then they go to one person. One. Burden. Look at Paul. As he got saved, and Ananias laid hands on him, the Bible says immediately he started sharing Christ. Something about that burden is that it's overwhelming. It's accompanied with zeal. It's the stirring of the Spirit in the new creation. That's what you discover. When you got born again, it was there. It was there. How many of you found yourself preaching the gospel even when you had not studied the Bible when you got born again? You just Passion, just passion. Because salvation comes with that body. To which God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed to us in the new birth the message of reconciliation. So the burden of the soul winner comes with a new birth. When it is missing or not felt, is a proof that the man or woman is walking out of God's will. It's a proof. In a ministry, let me say this quickly. In a church, you be careful of status. When you think, well, our church is now 1,000. We are now 2,000. We are now 10,000. We are now 20,000. Admire something I read of Bishop David Oyedepo. How, in spite of the number of people that congregate in his assembly every Sunday, he will yet go on the streets to share. That's very vital. Same thing as Pastor Oyedepo is saying. I remember one time that I saw him on my street in Ikorodu, and he came in a bus. And he came to do evangelism. I was overwhelmed. Some emojis today with 20 Kong, 5,000 Facebook followers cannot walk alone. They become Liverpool. They can't walk alone. Never. You see a young boy, 200 level student, because by stroke of luck and incidence of ignorance, he was made a pastor. He has a PA. In the university, I saw a guy who had a PA in his 100 level as a pastor. And the PA would see him up to the exam hall, stay at the door till he's done with his exam. You know, some things is not the word that is doing you again. It is a this that is doing you. I am here today. I don't have a PA. I don't have a PA. Who's pastor's PA? You. 20 Kong. 20. By the stroke of cameras, 50. By the tilting of camera, 100. Different gimmicks. Gimmicks. You know? Colored cameras, tilted, sidewalk. All sorts of directions. PA. Here, you see a man with over a million, and he walks into my street and he's preaching. That was in the year 2000 or so, 2001. Those are things that if you're a true Christian, you don't leave your mind. Some things are indelible. When you hear them, they leave you. There's a story I always share. When I visited Brother Hagin's office for the first time, I had heard about that office. So for the first time when I went to his office, he had passed on to glory then. And I saw the office, the simplicity of the office, the way it was in itself, then how his table was when he passed, the day he passed, that he was studying God's word. Using Facebook, studying God's word. The day he passed, about 70 years in the ministry. Those are things that don't leave your mind. You don't pass by. It's not somebody's car that should attract you. Those are things, the labors of men, they get your attention. This must be a godly man. So the soul winner's body is something, and you see, I remember I went to preach in one conference one time, and I asked people, how many of you have a soul winner's body? You have a body for soul. People raise their hand. Even those who have never won, not even a soul, a body before. But somebody raised his hand and said, sir, I don't feel the body. I said, you're a sincere person. I don't feel. I was sincere. And I shared with him God's word. Obviously, it's been around success, motivation, and all this nonsense. So, any conference you attend, any meeting, and at the end of the day, that body is not spared. You can't call it the will of God. Same as any relationship you enter, any friendship, any partnership of any sort that doesn't remind you of this body can't be the will of God. How do I keep this body alive? Always. Let me say this to you. I learned this from Pastor Yinka, the Reverend Yinka, the pastor of Grace Family Church in 1994 in their convention. He said something that was very striking. He said, the major things in Christianity are the basic things. I never forgot that statement. The major things are the basic. You'll be surprised that the things you ought to be doing are simple, simple things. Very basic. In fact, if I say them now, they are things that you probably know very well. Very simple. How do I keep the body for souls? How? For Paul to say to Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in you. 1 Timothy 4:14. Stir up the gift. 2 Timothy 1:6. That means you have a duty. Keep by the Holy Ghost. Say to Timothy. The first thing, have a personal devotion with the word. You see that early morning devotion, or mid morning, or that daily devotion with the word, where you create time to listen to God's word, to read it prayerfully. Today, the demands of time has made us just play it in your car as you are driving. You are not even listening as you are driving. And today, you can be playing something on your car and chatting with somebody else. So your mind is not there. So I'm talking about a devotion. Devotion. Where? Because true Bible study is meditation. What did I say? It's meditation. Reading is important. Research is important. But the core of it is when you now sit down and begin to brood over what you are reading. Sometimes I just create hours. I did it this morning. Just sat, looked through scriptures, and I was there for 3 hours. Looked through it, checked my reference again, thought through it well. That is the study itself. Where you are thinking through. Because, hear me, God's word in itself are thoughts. They are words. So they must come back to you as thoughts. That's, you know, simple things. Simple things. Create the period. Whether, I tell you many times, no matter your career, no matter your discipline, no matter your condition, no matter your situation, there's somebody in that situation serving the Lord. You are without excuse. No matter where you are, I'm in a Muslim country. There are not many world churches. It's not true. No matter where you are. So, no matter your schedule. No matter your schedule. I told you the story of this guy who was very busy. Very zealous brother in church. Very zealous brother. He will be at every meeting Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays. Then he got a job somewhere. Became a director of a major multinational. From there, he became the managing director. So, he stopped coming to church. Every time they tell you, ah, bro, why are you not saying, you know my schedule, you know my... In fact, when they ask him, if he shows up on a Sunday, before they ask him, you're answering him, yeah, we know your schedule. you know what I do. And he will even say it in a glance, like he's talking down others, you know how busy I can get, you know. I just saw the president off yesterday to his bedroom. I'm about to also see Donald Trump to go and learn some things, you know. I was trying to sort out if I just wrote the paper, you know. And he's just talking with pride. So he left. So all of a sudden, one day, they discovered he was very devoted in church. He was coming faithfully. So the pastor was bothered. Because, you know, again, you look at the church account on such issues. He was not bothered. I hope bro has not lost his job. This one that is so devoted to church. No, he said, there's no problem. Sir, what's going on, sir? I said, no. Help. Then he said, you know, in fact, I got another consultancy job. So he was not curious. Is he in repentance? Is he an encounter with the Lord? No. He actually had a terminal disease. So suddenly, he created time. The first thing he created time for was I went to see the doctor. That's time. He created that time. Of course, for such things, you don't see the doctor in 5 minutes and walk in, you have the doctor. You say you have to come back. Then you create time for checks. They'll carry you inside freezers, inside warmers, all sorts of silver plated things. They'll push you out, and you'll begin to see your life. So it created time eventually. It created time for regular checkup. Of course, it created time for the therapies that came with it. And so God found his way in the midst of the fire. So, really, there's nothing called I don't have time. You made yourself that way. You did. The president of Nigeria has time to pray 5 times a day. The vice presidency preaches every Sunday. Vice president of Nigeria still studies the Bible well. Governors, they have time for midnight, all-night meetings of all manner of nocturnal things. They have time for clubbing. They don't have time to work. Your job is deputy assistant small manager. You are forming busy. Forming busy. Your car is official car without a label. And like this. Oh, you can correct your car. You don't know. It's not a cost. It is the word. Amen? Amen? Okay, someone say, that miracle will be yours forever. It's a lie. There is no miracle that is forever. It's only salvation that is forever. That miracle will be permanent. It shall be permanent. There is no permanent miracle. Amen? Check your bank account the next day. It depletes per minute and per second. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you following what I'm saying here? So, simple things create time for devotion in the word. If the burden is lifting, check your devotion. Number two, I call this the all-important one. You keep the burden for souls by a healthy and good company. A healthy and good company. Remember, to know good friends, they'll say, come, let us know the Lord. Come, let us show others the Lord. Come, let us enjoy the Lord together. Look at the company. 1 Corinthians 15:33. He says, do not be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Proverbs 13:20. He says, the wise walks with the wise, but the companion of fools prays together. Hear me well. Man is a product of influence. You are here today because of influence. Those who are not here today, who are to be here, did not come because of influence. It's as simple as that. Influence is what you listen to, who you talk to, what you give your heart to every day. Some of us, we have numerous influence. We have the church influence that ends Sunday evenings and Wednesday evenings. And we have the other influences on our WhatsApp, on our Facebook that are overwhelming. Look at the company. They went in one accord. That's company. Acts 2:1-2, 1-4. And they, Acts 8:4, went everywhere preaching. That's company. People that you share the passion for Christ. Don't move close to people that you don't share their passion for Christ, or they don't receive your passion for Christ. Hear me. One of you will have to change. Either you change or they change. There's nothing neutral. I've told you, there is no relationship that does not have its own effect. Even the ones that are saying nothing to you, they have the role they are playing. Why do you think the church in the book of Acts almost was like a cult? They were always together. If you are going to be with them, you will be saved. So, there is the impact of relationships. To keep the body for souls, you have godly and healthy relationships. Finally, make it your aim. Make soul winning your aim. You're planning for the year, planning for the month, planning your marriage, for example, planning your traveling to another city, another country. Make it something you plan regularly. Which time, as you are taking that employment job, employment opportunity, you ask yourself, will this allow me to do what I want to do? I've told you, a serious Christian does not get engaged in business or careers that merely tolerates serving the Lord or the work of ministry. No. He does a job, a business, that the work of the ministry allows. It's the other way around. Christians need to learn to say no. Learn to say no. 8 to 8 job, 7 days a week, you can never grow. You may even lose your salvation. So what is now left? 8 to 8, every day, on Sunday, 2. They just give you 1 Sunday in a month. How do you ensure your name will not be taken out of the book of life? The roof is there. Quick, quick, look at this! You know, talks apart. You don't open your eye like this and enter into trouble. I said, lead yourself into temptation. That prayer is for you. Don't lead yourself into temptation. It must be your aim. Paul says, no! Under me, 1 Corinthians 9:15 and 16, that preach for the gospel. So a dispensation is committed to me, a stewardship. See this body as something God gave you that you must keep. You must keep as you train through status in life, as you move from undergraduate to a graduate, as you move to your master's, your PhD, married, children, career, business, as you rise in different positions in life. Make this your aim. Something you plan to. Please, please. Something you plan for. Don't go to a country, a city, a nation. Before you step out, plan this one. Who and who will work with me? How will I go about it? Don't go there and get lost. What will I be doing? Which days? Which way? Before you travel, ask questions. Ask things. There are places you won't go because you are not ready to go yet. Why? This has not been put in place. See, there are some times when you are praying, it's because you are in disobedience. I learned this from Roy Hicks. He said, when you have light and you are praying for light, he said, you will get darkness. You already know the will of God. Plan with it. Walk with it. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you following what I'm saying? So the soul winner's body should be kept. Should be kept. Where is that passion? Is it still there? That overwhelming passion to tell others about Jesus, to share his love, to tell men about the resurrection. Does it still burn in your heart? If it is not, take those steps. Sincere, devotion in the word. Look at the company of people you keep. Let me say this. I told you before, honor can depreciate. The spiritual value of relationships too can depreciate. You can have friends that you started out well, and along the line, some of them are backsliding. It is important that you spot it. You spot it. Look at your discussions. Is it not business you talk about a lot? Business. Now talk about your children, the nursery school they are attending, the crèche. Talk about your boss at work. Talk about your master's program. Talk about, oh, you just came back from the States. I bought this and that. That was not how you started. I tell people, our pastors, I say, look, we met on a reason. If it wasn't the gospel, I never met you. where will we meet? If it's not because, where will the meeting point be? So we must never forget the entry point. The entry point of this relationship and the lives of men. The gospel of Christ. The church of God. So for us to maintain it, a supernatural relationship, we must maintain the purpose. Are you blessed this evening? Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Pray in the Holy Ghost.